Ghost Knight Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine. Welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
And here we are again, another Thursday night with Paranormal Underground Radio. How's it going, Karen?
Good. And, you know, Bert has solved for us the whole Rick Hale or Karen Frazier first problem. You know that, right?
Yeah, I saw that.
That's right. Let's see if I can pronounce it. Aaron Rick Hazier. What do you think?
I think that works for me. You know, it sounds very, I don't know, like 13th century German or something.
I think it sounds Klingon if I had to go to Rick Hazier.
Klingon. Yeah. Good thing I speak a little Klingon.
Oh, there you go. Well, hey. So
that's
here
I'm
we
a nerd.
Are. It's Thursday night on Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. And we are going to be talking to Deborah and Tony Pickman from the Sally House in just a bit. So that ought to be interesting, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this you know, the Sally House haunting is probably been one of the most investigated cases, you know, in the annals, not annals, but in the annals of paranormal research and investigation. And for me, I personally feel that it is, you know, a legitimate case, and that what the Pickmans say happened to them actually happened to them.
Well, I'm looking forward to talking to him and finding out. I love hearing a good ghost story. Although, you know, when I was a kid, the Amityville Horror came out in book form when I was a teenager. Probably like 12, 13 years old, which tells you how freaking old I am.
Yeah, but
and, what?
No, go ahead.
And I was reading it in bed at night. I would read it in bed at night, and then I would lay there and not be able to sleep. So I just want to know, is that going to happen to me tonight? Am I going to be too scared to sleep, Rick?
I don't know. I mean, you might be. This little girl, you know, in the Sally House haunting, Sally, if, you know, she was, in fact, a little girl, which, you know, by and large, she believed that she was. She was a pretty nasty little brat spirit, you know. We'll get into that when we talk to Tony and Deborah. So, you know, Tony and Deborah can tell us what exactly happened to them. I don't want to, you know, steal their thunder, because it's a very serious story. I mean, definitely more legit than the Amityville Horror, in my opinion.
Yeah, clearly, but at the time when I was 13 years old, that was pretty, it made an impression, certainly, especially because they billed it as a true story at the time. So I don't know, if I don't dream about that, then we were talking about black helicopters earlier, and I told you another one of my absolutely weird little, I don't know, I don't want to call them psychoses, but neuroses. That's more like it. That's right, which is that for years, since I was a kid, I've had black helicopter dreams.
Really? Do tell, Mom Jeans.
I am not wearing mom jeans today. I am wearing sweat. I have to tell you, I look like a vagrant. So picture it. It's really attractive. I don't smell like a vagrant, but I look like one today.
You know, I got a funny story for you too. And Michael Kravchek, who's listening tonight, cause he's a fellow Chicagoan, he'll know about this. A friend of mine and his wife went to this place this weekend, this past weekend, called the Sybaris, out in Northbrook, Illinois. And
the Sybaris.
Yeah, it's kind of like a place for married couples and maybe even not so married couples to go and
do they have Sibians there? Is that why it would be the Sybaris?
I don't know. I think Sybaris is like have sex here in Greek or something. I have no idea. But
well, anyways, yeah, Sibians are sex toys. That's why I asked.
Oh,
that's,
I didn't
that's
know
what
that.
Made me. So obviously, Sib must have be something to do with either your sibling or sex.
This isn't Arkansas. This is Northern Illinois.
Okay. All right. Go on. Sybaris, friends at Sybaris, swingers. Your friends were at the Sybaris.
So my friends are at the Sybaris, he and his wife, and you know, he's telling me all about the place. We've never been there because, you know, basically we can't afford it. It's pretty expensive, but so he took pictures of the place, you know, to show me what it looks like in case, you know, we ever go. And I don't know if like Scooter and his wife kept the you know, the shots of whatever they do on another camera, which is fine. I don't want to look at Scooter's bare ass, bare fat hairy ass. But anyways, when you look at this place and look how incredibly secure it is, like the cottages where you go in and do your thing, it looks like you could easily withstand the zombie apocalypse of 2012 there.
So that's where I should go.
That's where you should go. You should hop on a plane, come to Illinois, or the flyover states, as you call it, and go to the Sybaris in case of a, you know, Nazi.
Or any other zombie. Yes, or any other similarly appointed club.
Yeah, or yeah, sex plays. But yeah, that's so. Yep. So if you ever need to, you know, withstand a zombie attack, that's the place you want to go, because it's quiet, no windows, and apparently the doors are hard to steal. So that's not the only thing that's hard to steal at the Sybaris.
You see her all week, folks. Try the veal. Don't forget to tip your waitresses, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so I was telling you off the air, I've had a supernaturally bad day today. Mm-hmm. Didn't it, my description sort of almost sounds supernaturally bad?
It sounds like somebody has put a voodoo curse on you.
It kind of does. Well, you know, my son's stepmother is Wiccan, and only she's not one of the Wiccans who believes that whatever you put out there comes back to you threefold. So she I'm sure she puts curses on me all the time. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. So I woke up this morning. First of all, I washed my iPhone in the washing machine last night. And I got to tell you, iPhones can take it. It's alive. It's alive. So good to know. I wouldn't try this at home, but if you accidentally do it, hey, there you go. I have a clean iPhone and it works.
So, see, I'm like afraid that one of these days that the iPhones are going to come to life and they're going to gain sentience. You know, like Trapper Keeper in that episode of South Park, where it comes to life and takes over the world through Eric Cartman. So I'm yes. kind of afraid of that.
Well, I think it sounds really cool. So there you go.
iPhone's
anyway,
taking over the world.
That's right. So I washed my iPhone. It lived. And then I woke up this morning and I had a migraine. I get migraines about 2-3 times a month. And so I woke up this morning with a migraine and staggered out to see if my iPhone was working. Uh-huh. And I was immediately thrilled to see that it was, followed immediately by being crestfallen and panicked because there were about 10 texts on my iPhone saying, oh my God, is Jim okay? Is Jim okay? There was an explosion in his plant. Is Jim okay? So before, I keep any of you in suspense, he's okay. Everyone is at the plant is okay. They had a transformer explode this morning and then burn for several hours because it's a power plant, because they're filled with oil. So that was really exciting. And then I decided to start working with my migraine because I'm a little behind this week. And my 2-month-old computer, which is a MacBook Air, died. So then I had to beg some 20-year-old store manager, who was a lovely young man after a fashion, to, you know, so I had to go in looking like a vagrant because, of course, with everything going on, I hadn't showered yet.
And, ew.
I know. So I threw Karen. Myself. I know. So I threw myself on the mercy of the Apple Store, and I now have a new one, but I lost all my data, and I have to set everything up again. So it's just one of those days that God seemed to be or the universe seemed to be telling me, go back to bed.
Better take a shower.
Well, I would, but by the time I got home and got my computer set up, it was time to be on the radio. So as I say, I look like a vagrant. Just live with it. Picture it. Close it. Close your eyes. Picture it in your mind's eye. I'm gorgeous tonight. Gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Okay, so Cheryl wanted us to mention really quickly that we're having trouble with Skype, and we're having a bad Skype connection tonight. So bear with us if you hear us, like, fade in and out. It's not us. It's you. Okay. It's not us. It's you.
It's me.
No, I meant it's the listeners. So there's nothing wrong with us. There's something wrong with your ears.
You have just alienated all of our listeners.
all four of them.
The five people. Oh, I was going to go five people listen to us.
Well, you're more optimistic than I am. But I'm having a pessimistic kind of day because I'm under a curse placed on me by my son's evil stepmother.
So, oh.
There you go.
There you go. I was just going to say, you know, real quick about, you know, being number 5 on iTunes in the Paranormal Podcast. So we actually must have more than five people who listen to us.
Either that or it only takes five.
Yeah. On iTunes, anything is possible.
All righty. So let's go to break. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Deborah and Tony. And I'm looking forward to this because I'm looking forward to a good ghost story. If I don't sleep tonight and I dream about ghosts or black helicopters, so be it. At least that's better than worrying about bats in my toilet.
I know what I'm going to be dreaming about. Pachow!
he's going to be dreaming about either that club, which I've already forgotten what it's called, or me as a vagrant at the club. Okay, so...
Unshowered?
Oh, yeah, that's attractive. Okay, so we'll go to break, and we will be right back. Maybe.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
This is John Mayer for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. On stage, it's fun to push the limits and see where it takes me. Off stage, it's a different story. Get behind the wheel of a car after you've been drinking and you risk causing a crash, hurting, or even killing someone. When you're enjoying a few drinks, know your limit and don't push it. Plan ahead and give up the keys. You'll make it a safer weekend for everyone.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com.
The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio. I'm your host, Rick Hale, and I'm here, as always, with the other host, Karen Frazier. Hey, Karen.
Hey.
Hey, what
are we called again? Hey, wait, I have to look now that Bert's here. Let's see. It is Arenaric Hazier.
Arenaric Hazier. That's right.
Arenaric Hazier, because there is not going to be any more of that who's first and not, or who's not.
It's definitely better, I mean, you know, than Brangelina or, you know, yikes. I'm glad we
got it's way better. Brangelina does not sound Klingon like Arenaric.
Arenaric Hazier Kirk. Okay, well, tonight we have actually, you know, we already told you guys we have a pretty decent show for you.
Decent. We have it's a really big shoe.
It's a really big shoe. Tonight, joining us will be Deborah and Tony Pickman, who for a year lived in a home in Atchison, Kansas, where they came underneath the attacks, especially Tony, of a malicious spirit called Sally. Some of you will be familiar with this because it's been featured on the brilliant Discovery Channel show A Haunting, as well as one of the original paranormal reality TV shows, which was Sightings back in the 90s, which was always a personal favorite of mine. Also recently, within the last year, I believe it is, Deborah has released a book recounting their personal experiences living in the home. It's called, you know, simply The Sally House Haunting, and it's a, you know, it's a brilliant read. So if anybody gets a chance, please, you know, go run out and buy it. And Tony and Deborah, thank you for joining us tonight.
Well, thank you. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Very, very well. So I have a really quick question just right off the bat. So your house was featured on A Haunting, and of course, I have to know, did you watch A Haunting in Connecticut, and were you relieved that it was not you who was made a movie out of like that?
Yes, to both.
the movie that they made out of our story wasn't quite as dramatic.
Yeah.
I actually thought that was pretty good. I caught that on the Sci-Fi Channel. That like 2 years ago? I thought it was actually pretty well put together. Obviously, that house was a lot bigger than the regular, you know, the Sally house where your experience took place.
Yes.
But yeah, it was pretty good nonetheless. I liked it.
I think both of us would have to say that it was probably the best depiction of the events and probably the emotional condition that, you know, mostly Tony was in through the whole ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they have to do the backstory and all for, you know, the creativity and the, you know, the Hollywood stuff.
Right. Well, you got to throw that in there. And I think that that's kind of what took A Haunting, The Haunting in Connecticut, whatever, the one that was shown in the movies. I came pretty damn close to throwing my remote control at the TV after watching it, but you know, it's, you know, thankfully they didn't do that chop chop on you guys, because I think your guys' story is quite legit.
Yeah. Well, thank you for feeling that way.
Well, you know, I'm sorry.
Think about it.
Yeah. Well, I know that there's been a lot of controversy about it, especially with The not so amazing Randy from, you know, Psycop or Psycock, as I like to call him. You know, they tried to you know, disprove your story by doing the stage magic and, you know, with the scratches and all that. But, you know, we'll get into that a little bit later. When did you guys, you know, first notice that there was something strange going on in the house?
Probably about a month after we had moved in, which was very late 92.
Okay.
Took me about a month to get things organized, boxes unpacked, and the house pretty livable, pretty comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Tony and I would sit down at the end of the evening and watch TV, and it was, I think, pretty much the first thing we did notice, the ceiling light above us in the room on the ceiling fan was dim, and there was no dimmer switch.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had the electrical checked out. It would happen just in the evening, just when we were together. Mm-hmm. And once we had everything else checked out, we had no explanation for it. The next time it happened, you know, Tony, you know, just off the cuff said, oh, well, we must have a ghost. And, you know, we giggled about it, you know, because nobody really thinks they'll ever have a ghost.
Right.
And it never happened again.
Hmm.
Okay.
Hello? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were having a lag there. Sorry about that.
Oh.
We probably are.
Probably. Yeah. I think Cheryl already told you guys and all of our listeners, we're, you know, kind of having a little bit of a problem with Skype tonight, so... We're sort of like the destination truth of paranormal radio, but okay. So you know, I mean, something like that is, you know, easily explained. Of course, anybody who is a skeptic or a player hater, as I like to call them, can, you know, easily say, "Oh well, you know, you had subsidence going on in the house." Did you guys ever have, and you know that, you know, the foundation of the home looked at to make sure it wasn't causing any of this kind of stuff?
We had no idea what to look for, what to test for, but I know when sightings came in, they brought in a bunch of equipment, the environmental equipment that tests the electrical, the radiation, the magnet, anything that would cause the interference or the activity that we were seeing or experiencing, because mm-hmm. at that point sightings had been there probably 5 visits,
mm-hmm.
and so they were ready to, you know, try and figure out what was going on, and they brought much of this equipment in. I want to say after we left,
mm-hmm.
from what I gathered and what they presented on the television shows, the segments afterwards. They didn't find anything.
Right.
Nothing notable.
Okay. Now, Karen, I'm sorry. Did you have a question?
No, I was just going to actually ask them to continue on with what happened after you noticed, after you initially joked that there was a ghost in the house. Then what types of things started to happen? When did you go from laughing about having a ghost in the house to thinking, oh, crap, we've got a ghost in the house?
I would say the first thing that really threw us for a loop would have been Deb's sister had come up from New York to kind of help Deb with the baby. And probably the third night she was there, we'd notice little things happening. You know, we'd go to bed at night, the TV might turn on and off 5 mm-hmm. times. And you'd get up top of the stairs and shut back off, you'd have to go back down. Just little things like that that we were still trying to, you know, rationalize. The first thing threw us for a loop was we had gone over to, I believe, my parents' house for a visit, and when we came home, I had noticed when we walked in the door, you're facing the steps that go upstairs, and I noticed the light on the nursery was on. So I went up and shut it off, and when I looked in the room, all the teddy bears had been taken off the shelves of the room and put in a circle with mm-hmm. one teddy bear in the middle. Thought it was kind of odd, but I just figured Deb was playing a game with the baby. Didn't think too much about it. I come mm-hmm. downstairs and asked her about it, you know, who was messing with the teddy bears or how come you had them in that circle, and she didn't know what I was talking about, so I can't believe, did you and Karen both go up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Her and her sister both went up with me, and when we went up, and I'm sorry, let me go back. While I was up there, I picked the teddy bears up off the floor and put them back on the shelf. So when we'd gone back up, the teddy bear that was in the center was back on the floor. And that kind of threw me for a loop, because to me, when something can lift and move, that's telling me I've got something going on that you just can't explain. And since we were all together, we put that one back on the shelf. We shut the light off. We all walked down the steps together. Before we even made it to the bottom stair, the light turned back on. So, of course, we all run back up, and when we looked in the room, the teddy bear was back on the floor again. And that was just, it was just kind of mind-boggling. That was my first, at least my first indication that, man, there's something just crazy going on here.
Well, when the activity continued, you know, through the next probably 45 minutes before we called his brother in. And, you know, all three of us had been together the whole time. Mm-hmm. Our last trip up there, when the light flickered off, and, you know, the bear on the floor again, we stood there in the doorway, almost dumbfounded. And I don't think any of us spoke for several minutes, because in the back of our minds we're thinking, oh my God, we have a ghost, but I don't think anybody wanted to say anything.
Yeah.
Okay, so are you guys still there?
Yeah.
We're lagging. It's just driving me crazy. Sorry about
that. Yeah, sorry about that.
Yes, if we're dead quiet, it's not because we have nothing to say to you. It's because we're having a little bit of lag going on our thing. So somebody in the chat room who actually met you guys somewhere suggested that you talk about what happened with your cat.
Oh, boy.
That's not one Tony's proud of, but yeah, he let that loose at the Chicago conference when we were lecturing up there. So mm-hmm.
I'm sorry if this offends any animal activists. Let it be known that I love animals. What had happened with the cat was, by the time we had moved out, and this was probably, I'm going to say, 2 weeks prior to when we moved out, things had gotten so bad, and my mood in the house was just, it was just horrible. I wasn't myself. It's so hard to explain, because I almost felt like I was another person.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't think straight. All I could think was bad thoughts, and majorly depressed, just crazy thoughts. And it had gotten so bad that one morning I had gotten up and actually had planned on, I was going to slit Deborah's throat, to be honest with you.
Wow.
That's all I had. That's all I could think about. And she left work, and I had planned it when she come home. And, you know, that just breaks my heart to think that it had gotten that bad and I had no control over it. What happened with the cat was, after she left for work that morning, I had gone into the kitchen and was getting some cereal to eat. Somewhere, I still have no idea, because it actually was not one of our cats. I don't know where it came from.
Hold on a second, Tony. You planned on brutally slaying your wife at the end of the day, and yet you still made cereal. If you don't mind me asking, what kind of cereal was it?
It was Captain Crunch.
That'll do it. Okay, proceed.
Somehow, a cat had gotten into the house. I probably one of the neighbor cats. I had the bowl of cereal up on the counter. I had walked over to the fridge to get, I don't know, it was a glass of juice or something else. And when I turned around, the cat was up drinking out of my bowl of cereal. Without any thought, I took a knife and I just stabbed it to the counter.
Oh, my God.
And if you know us, we have several cats. We are cat lovers. It was so unlike me. I can't explain it, because I didn't hesitate. And it was so weird in that house, because when I'd leave the house, I could think clear. It was like I was back to myself. As soon as we came back for just a little bit, I just turned into a zombie. And that's basically what it felt like. And it got to where when Deb would walk by me in the living room or something, all I could think was I just wanted to knock her down, or, you know, just do something horrible. And it hurts to say, but that's how it was.
Wow.
Now, is this now because of this, is this the reason that you thought that you had a demon in the house?
I think so. This and other things. There was so much that went on that that didn't really get shown on mm-hmm. the TV series. I was being bothered a lot up in the upstairs in our master bedroom. Really horrible dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I would constantly, when I try to lay down, it would sound like 6 to 7 people just whispering in my ear at once, and I could never make out what they were saying. It was just like they were all talking at once.
Mm-hmm.
Went from that to a lot of scratching in the wall behind the headboard.
Mm-hmm.
and then it would go back to the whispering. It got to where it was actually messing with the bed. It had pushed so hard on the bed that, you know, it would flop me around.
Yeah.
I was yanked out of bed one night, and the next morning had the Fern's blisters where like a hand would have been.
Mm-hmm.
I had marks on my legs from something messing with me. And just a lot of that stuff that, to me, there's just, no matter how, you know, all this about the little girl in the house, I just couldn't picture a little girl doing this. It was just too evil, Phil.
You know what, Tony? If you think that little kids aren't capable of that, you should come where I work. I work with kids who have behavioral and conduct disorders, and that's a walk. The all scratches and being yanked out of bed is a walk in the park to what you have to deal with. So with some kids, but
I work in the mental health field with some young children as well, and it is amazing what is in the mind and what a child is capable. I agree.
Absolutely. So when sightings came to the home. And I like to ask. Oh, actually, first I like to ask this: Did you, Tony, seek any kind of professional psychiatric help? Maybe you thought, "Oh my God, I'm losing my mind. I'm going schizophrenic." Did you seek anything like that?
Yeah, I did. I'd gone to school in a Catholic grade school, Catholic high school, mm-hmm. and. High school I'd gone to, I'd gotten to be pretty good friends with a priest that worked there, and he was a kind of a counselor type too, and I was talking to him quite a bit, just shooting things by him and telling him the feelings I was having and everything. It had gotten down to, I finally talked him into coming by and just coming to the house to see, you know, what if he felt anything or maybe get him to back me up. And it was 2 weeks before he was scheduled to come over, he had a heart attack and passed away.
Oh.
So he never
I'm sorry about you about that.
And I had several trips to the emergency room with mm-hmm. several scratches. I guess my appetite had just gone. I'd lost like 14 pounds in a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I was passing out and ended up in the emergency room. From there, I'd seen a counselor over that. It was just crazy.
Wow. Now, by the time that sightings had come into your home, how bad had the activity progressed?
It wasn't really too heightened. In fact, sightings, visits, seemed to escalate the activity, like it wanted to show off or something.
Right.
And it got to the point, you know, every time they called to want to come back, Tony was like so much against it because he just, mm-hmm. he knew he was going to be the target, you know, every time.
I felt like I'd gotten to be kind of a circus freak, you know, it was a... come watch the boy get scratched. And
well, TV will do that to people who are experiencing,
and it just
true hauntings.
Trey, you felt kind of crazy enough. I'm just a little country boy, and this was so far out of my league and anything I wanted to deal with that I was still kind of, can we just keep it quiet?
Right. Yeah. Of course, you being the husband and a father and the man of the house, mm-hmm. you want to maintain some level of control. And, that's something that's been worked into us through, millions of years of social evolution. But why do you think, Tony, that you had become such a target of this malicious spirit?
To this day, I still try to figure that out. There's so many. I've been hit with so many different, theories, but I can't narrow it down to one. Moving in the house, we were pretty young when we moved in there.
Mm-hmm.
I do think something's happened in that house,
mm-hmm.
and things have been brought forth, and I'm kind of finding out through research that we've done and stuff that all it takes is a certain kind of energy to go in a place and you can almost awaken something. And I don't know if I had that kind of energy or, you know, why it zeroed in on me. I wished I had a good answer for you, but I just don't.
It's been my experience, and you know, I've been, you know, I'm not one of these, you know, folks who got interested in this because of some television show. You know, I've been doing this for a long time, and it's been my experience that sometimes when a person has a latent psychic or mediumistic ability, that it can, you know, awaken these energies and give them power.
How about vice versa?
Or even vice versa. Yeah, I mean, it can, you know, those kind of energies can awaken psychic ability. But do you guys know of any, you know, of having anything like that? I know on the website, Tony, it has your picture and it says that you're an intuitive researcher.
I've growing up as a kid, I never. It just coming from a small town, you just never talked about stuff like that. I would see some things when I was a kid, and I tended to almost block them out, basically. And I don't know if going in that house that it just really awakened that, because you know, I saw quite a bit there, and I don't know if I just couldn't accept that, or you know, like I said, growing up kid, you just didn't, especially a young Catholic boy, you just didn't bring it up. You didn't want to bring it up.
Right. Now, what about you, Deborah? I mean, you didn't bear any of the brunt of a malicious spirit, did you?
No, I actually got a totally different version of what was going on there. Everything I encountered or experienced was more along the lines of a playful child, interacting, turning the pictures upside down, knocking things over, playing with the cats, sitting down, reading to the baby. I could feel the coldness on one leg, whereas the baby was sitting on the other leg, almost as if there was a child trying to interact.
One of the things that always kind of struck me about your guys' story, especially from your side of the story, Deborah, was that it seems that this spirit, Sally, kind of took your little boy. I believe his name is Taylor, correct?
Yeah.
It almost seemed as if she was trying to take him under her wing and treat him like a sibling. Is that the impression that you got, that she was trying to do?
Yes, and it was also presented in that manner from Barbara Connor, who was originally born in Atchison, had since moved out to California, had lectured on paranormal events, and she was contacted. She was kind of a friend of the family, and she was in town visiting, and she stopped by to see what she could do as far as helping us out, trying to understand the situation. And it was her feeling that this little spirit girl, Sally, was there to take care of the baby. And it kind of has always kind of plagued my mind, because when Taylor was you know, itty-bitty, we had just brought him home, he would wake every hour on the hour for probably 3 weeks. I think the first night that he did not was when my sister came to visit and help us out. And, you know, he'd be changed. He'd be, you know, dry. He'd be fed. He'd be warm, not too cold. There was no reason for him to wake that often. You know, they say, you know, a week and a half, 10 days, you know, that baby should be acclimated to being outside the womb, that he sleeps more often at night rather than during the day, et cetera.
I wish that was true about my son.
And that just wasn't happening. And so my husband suggested, and, you know, it just, like, In my thoughts, you know, what if she was a little spirit and she was trying to remind him to breathe? What if he was a SIDS baby?
Right. But now, here, one of the things that I find very interesting about your guys' case is that it would appear that Sally was not the only spirit in your house. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah. From what I've read and been able to glean, that there was a spirit in your house that had a female spirit that had done something quite horrible in her lifetime and may have suffered from some kind of mental illness. Can you, you know, fill our listeners in on that a little bit?
Well, the information that, you know, through our research that kind of popped up was that there was a woman who actually lived next door to mm-hmm. this house. And she'd been committed to an insane asylum twice. She'd been released twice.
Mm-hmm.
She had odd ways about her of such. Her husband divorced her, then remarried her. She actually left, after she moved to Kansas City, she actually left her two young girls alone.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't seem to have an understanding or a regard for them being children and having to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. Also, after she had left and moved to Kansas City, she, whether inadvertently or intentionally, killed her son by like a gas asphyxiation. Oh, that was a difficult word. And we're not really sure why she was released from the insane asylum. We're wondering if it had anything to do with being the neighbor of the doctor that actually lived in our house.
Right.
He may have been, you know, set as a guardian or something for her to monitor her, you know, activities or, you know, her daily life or emotions or whatever it was that was the cause of what was putting her in the insane asylum.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know any of this information when Tony started seeing the female spirit in our house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had, that was probably the worst, I'll say, spirit that I saw was it was an elder, well, I'd say probably in her late 50s age.
Mm-hmm.
She would kind of appear in the bedroom, and she did it. I saw her twice, and each time she did, I had horrible experiences in the bedroom. With things moving, doors slamming, doors. And she would always almost kind of, it looked like she was materializing and then would move over to my side of the bed, and she would, I'll never forget, her arm just shot out at me one day when I was in bed, and
mm-hmm.
I heard the words, "I'm gonna," and as soon as she said that, she was gone, and everything just stopped. I mean, and it sounded like World War III going on in that bedroom, and I remember literally oozing out of bed to the floor on my knees, and I was trying to scream for dead, but I was so scared I couldn't get a scream to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And couldn't get the door open, and finally Deb just kind of opened the door, and she's like, "What's wrong with you?"
Now, oh, sorry, Tony.
It's all right.
I'm sorry, I thought I interrupted you. Do you think that it's possible that this, you know, spirit of this, you know, crazy woman, more or less, actually it sounds more like she probably was suffering some, you know, from some kind of postpartum depression. Do you think that this is the spirit that could have been the one that was, you know, physically attacking you, or do you think that was all just Sally?
I kind of have my own, I think that there is something bad in that house.
Mm-hmm.
For me, what I felt like, I felt so helpless there, because what I was seeing, what I was feeling, I just couldn't get it. It was doing just the opposite to Deb, and it was causing so much friction between us.
Mm-hmm.
Almost felt like to me it was doing it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it showed itself to me as a little girl, thinking, you know, I'd feel sorry for her. I'd be protective of her. It scared me. I was never big on ghosts. I didn't
right.
want to. When that didn't work, I started seeing a female that would take on, it looked like Deborah, but in 18th century clothing.
Okay.
And see her go down the hallway. If I was in the bathroom, she would pass the hall, and she was dressed in 1800 clothes with her hair up, but it looked like Deborah.
Mm-hmm.
When that didn't seem to, I don't know if it was trying to win me over or scare me or what. After that, I never saw her no more. to me, took on the appearance of this older woman.
Mm-hmm.
And each time, the things it was doing, it was getting more aggressive, more mm-hmm. physical, and harmful. And after the old woman, it just quit showing itself at all. And that's when I started getting being yanked out of bed, pushed down the stairs. And it was then to where I really couldn't take it anymore. I knew something bad was going to happen if we didn't leave.
Mm-hmm.
I finally, got through to Deb and said, we need to move, because if we don't get here, something horrible is going to happen.
Well, and there was a point where there were factors of like a possession that mm-hmm. came up, and I didn't recognize them as such at the time. Mm-hmm. Hindsight is wonderful. There was a time where we were sitting on the couch. It must have been the weekend, because I know it was the middle of the day, and Tony had fallen asleep on. We had a very long couch. I was sitting at one end, and he'd been in like a prone position, face up, on the other end of the couch. Mm-hmm. And just out of the blue, he sat like straight up, and he looked at me, and he said, "He's mine."
Hmm.
And my first thought, I'm not thinking nothing out of the ordinary for the most part. I'm thinking he's having a dream about, his newborn son and being protective of him.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't hit. But the more I had looked back on that, it wasn't his voice. I mean, it was his voice, but it was something different about. It was almost mechanical the way he said it. And then he just laid back down like nothing.
Right.
I don't recall any kind of a dream when he woke up. And, looking back, I wonder if something was coming through to him, trying to claim him.
Or perhaps he was channeling. I mean, either or.
Yeah.
Huh.
I wanted to touch on the scratches. Now, that seems to be a very common occurrence in most hauntings. I mean, during my investigations, I've never been scratched, but I know plenty of people who have. I've been pushed, and I had something try and choke me once, but I've never actually been scratched. Tony, when you were first, found these scratches, did you really think anything of it?
It scared me to death.
Oh, really?
I tell you, if it can physically harm me, and mm-hmm. I can't see it, I didn't know what to think. And my mind referred back to, oh my God, the Exorcist. Am I gonna be one of those people? And it was just, when you can't see nothing, you feel so helpless.
Oh, and, sure.
And not to belittle women, but when you're a man, that is the worst feeling, because mm-hmm. I literally felt like I can't protect myself. How can I protect Deb and Taylor? And it was horrible.
Yeah. Well, that just goes back to the whole idea of, man is like, we're supposed to be men and the men of the house, and we're not supposed to be nurturing, and we're supposed to be protected. And, and when something like this pops up, and, oftentimes the guy is the the man is the first victim of whatever's going on, as in most, true hauntings, it does give you a real sense of helplessness. When sightings came and they did your guys' story, and I thought they did a really great job, by the way, I seem to remember actually one of the scratches and blood appearing on you, Tony, on the show and while they were doing the filming. Now, the not-so-amazing Randy and his little butt buddy, Joe Nickel, they actually did an experiment where they showed that you could create these scratches and this bloodletting with, magic or stage paint or, mm-hmm. Anything like that. I just want to know, I'm sure our listeners want to know, there wasn't any, hanky-panky like that going on, was there?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
Say, every time that any group has been in the house with us, whether it be investigating or whether, when we lived there, when sightings was coming in, you mm-hmm. better believe everybody's eyes were on Tony's every move.
I believe
bet.
It.
Yeah,
I believe
I bet.
It.
literally don't go to the bathroom by yourself.
I believe it.
And I don't blame them. And, you know, a lot of times I would ask people that when groups would come in, I'd be like, you know, check me out, because that was a big fear of mine, was people, you know, I used to watch shows like that, and I was the worst skeptic, and I can't blame anybody for not believing, because it's just too unbelievable.
Yeah, I understand.
And
right.
I didn't want to be one of those people that, you know, they thought that, you know, I am probably, but it does hurt, but you'll never convince everybody until something happens to you like that.
Right.
There's no, I don't know what you could do. And yeah, we were pretty thorough about people checking me out, and sightings did do a really good job, especially when Kerry Gaynor got involved.
Mm-hmm.
He was excellent at that. He really, I mean, he was literally 2 inches from me.
He was so flabbergasted.
And he would check me out when I did use the restroom. You know, you were checked before you went in. When you came back, you were checked again. And literally, it was to the point where, you know, you were on camera shirtless the whole time, or,
you know,
they were on.
No, but, I've always said that extraordinary claims demand extraordinary evidence. And when you can produce something like that on camera, and you've got, you know, 50 people in your house. Obviously, that was the case with, I may be overstating the number of people that appeared to be in your house during sightings. But when something like that is produced on you, and you've got 50 eyewitnesses who was like, hey, this cat's on the level, you know, it really would appear that you were being scratched and bloodlet by whomever this spirit may be.
I can remember Kerry sitting, you know, like Tony said, I mean, he was corner to corner in the chair so that he had a good visual on him. Mm-hmm. And I can remember countless times where he just threw his hands up and he said, we have more scratches. And, you know, he says, I'm sitting right here. He was just so frustrated because he didn't see him coming. There were no signs that something was going to happen. They just appeared. And it big welts, and he was just totally dumbfounded for it. And, you know, Kerry's been in the field for quite a number of years.
Oh, sure.
And I would say 3/4 of the time, people would have to point them out to me because I didn't even know I was scratched.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my question to you is, when you see people who, or hear of people who fake things like this, how does that make you feel after everything you went through?
It hurts because I know it's just another, it's a way for them to get attention, but the whole paranormal field just brings it down. And there are a lot of good people out there that really have good intentions and want to help so much, and it, you know, to see that just knocked down by somebody doing something like that, and
it's like a slap in the face.
Yeah, I would imagine that it would be. Hey, we need to take a break. And when we come back, I understand that we have a couple of EVPs that we're going to play from the house. So we will be going to break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. This is Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio, and we're talking to Deborah and Tony from the Sally House.
Hi, everyone. It's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at Paranormal UG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
Yo, what's up? This is the Black Eyed Peas. and we're here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Music is one of the most important things in our lives, but nothing is more important than life itself. So when you drink and drive, you're risking the life of yourself and the lives of everybody on the road. Don't plan to drive, just plan ahead.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Radio Network.
Now, guys, we actually have it confirmed from Scotty Rourke, who is the owner of Z-Talk Radio, that that is, in fact, a monkey. And that's why we call it the Z-Talk Radio Monkey Spank.
That's right. Oh, my God. Yeah, so that was the Z-Talk Radio Monkey Stank. Monkey Stank. No, that would be something totally different, probably. Okay, so welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio on Z Talk Radio. Karen and Rick here with you, and we're talking with Deborah and Tony Pickman of the Sally House. And actually, in the break, Deborah and I communicated a little bit, and she's going to be sending me over a couple of extra EVPs. So we are not going to EVPs just yet. So we will go ahead and get back to our interview. So go ahead, Rick, while I try and figure out how I'm going to convert some files.
Well, thank you, Karen. So, you know, Deborah and Tony, there was one thing that I wanted, you know, to really bring up with you guys. Peter James, who was a psychic medium. It was very sad when he just recently passed away. And I've always really respected him as a psychic medium. Not only was he into the mystical side of it, but he also seemed to be into the science side of it as well. And you know, the white hair and the black mustache was fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, he now, you know, him and other psychics were brought in there by sightings, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What, you know, through their impressions, what were they able to glean from the home? Was it more of a mystical sense, or was it more of a historical sense of what was going on in the home?
I'm not sure either. The female spirit that Peter picked up on, the little girl spirit, pretty well right away. Mm-hmm. The female spirit, which mostly was felt up in the master bedroom by him, mm-hmm. was standoffish. Gave her first initial, or gave him a B for her name. Mm-hmm. That was the connection that we made to the Joanna Barnes woman that we spoke to that lived next door in life.
Mm-hmm.
But she was very defensive. She did not like being questioned and burned his face at one time. There was a static electrical charge on Peter's wrist. So mm-hmm. he did, and he did also pick up on a historical element of a doctor who lived at the in the house, or medical field, because he did pick up on the cold metal instruments.
He picked right. up on, he claimed that there was a portal in, I guess it'd be the dining room,
mm-hmm.
that he claimed that things were coming and going all the time in there. So that was right. interesting.
See, now, and that's another thing I kind of wanted to touch on, was the doctor in the house. Now, I know through your guys' own historical research, and of course, historical research that was done by sightings as well as the Discovery Channel's A Haunting, that this little girl, Sally, may not have actually been a resident of this home. Could you go into some more detail about, you know, who Sally actually was and where it is that she came from and how she came to, her spirit came to haunt this home?
Interesting question, because we've actually found no reference to a Sally living in the house, dying in the mm-hmm. house. Mm. House, or even being a family member of the house. We're okay. going to start looking at the name Sarah, because Sally is short for Sarah, or a nickname for Sarah, and mm-hmm. still very little to connect any little girl, 8-year-old, or anything around that time frame, to an actual individual that lived.
Right. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that, guys. Yeah, sorry about that. You know, according to what was showing on the Discovery Channel's A Haunting, that this Sally girl was, you know, the biracial daughter of the doctor and one of the servants, I believe, that he was that lived in the home that he was actually married to, and where is it that they came up with that kind of information? If you guys didn't find anything historical in the research, where was it that they came up with this from?
It was actually an early theory of ours. Mm-hmm. There had been, of course, the doctor lived in our house, and there was a Sally Hall that Peter picked up on, and that corresponded with some of my early research, only we didn't have, I don't know if it was the year that she died or the age that she was at. It was a piece of information missing, so I couldn't definitely say yes, this was a child that existed at the time. Mm-hmm. But the Sally Isabel Hall is what Peter picked up on, and there was a Sally Hall that was a black woman that lived around the corner from where our house would be.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we started, you know, theorizing, you know, well, maybe she and her husband had worked for the doctor in some capacity, and, you know, maybe there was an affair, maybe that's where the child came from, maybe that's why we couldn't find any records on her, because if she was biracial, you know, in the early 1800s, that would have been high.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of that came from, I had a pretty vivid dream of a young colored servant boy being hung in the master bedroom closet. It had a walk-in closet,
and uh-huh. I just,
the whole time we lived there, I could not go in that closet. I just got the creepiest feeling, and I don't know if it was from that dream, or I kept all my clothes in the dresser and other parts of the room. I didn't keep any in there. But I had I don't know if you would call him the master, but a white man pulling this boy up over a rafter in the master bedroom closet, and the boy just hanging there. And it just seemed so vivid, it scared me.
Okay. Huh. Yeah, it just seemed that there was a lot of theories that, came through with, the different television shows, and of course at the, your own guy's historical research. Chad wanted to know, he's kind of like our, webpage guy. He's actually the head guy at Paranormal Underground. He wanted to know if, normal, people like, or groups that we belong to are able to actually come to this home and do investigations.
There are. I don't know how much the owner is letting people in at this point. Now and then we do hear of groups that have gotten in there.
Mm-hmm.
Get emails. I can get 5 emails a week, asking, how do we get in there? Whether it be from individuals that, are just curious about it, or whether they're, a new group or a seasoned group, they're very excited to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And, I try and let them know that when they get in, it's more than what they may expect.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's groups, and we didn't learn this until afterwards, there's groups that have gone in there and been quite challenging. Some groups have, a different style about them.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're quite challenging, we actually get activity at this end, not so good activity.
Right.
And we found out after a weekend of activity that there was a group in there, and that they had been a little anxious about, getting some sort of response and being able to collect some, data and evidence and such. But the activity that we get here is, it can be quite concerning. I mean, there are fires. They sometimes break out on Tony, or he's, cut, or it's not something that you want your kids to see. And so
Right. We
let them know that things that happen over there do kind of stretch over here and reach out to us over here. We're not really sure why.
Because
We really... I can't say that we really have any other kind of activity over here when something's not going on over there.
And Right. Also, we've had several that have gone in there and have, I guess you call them attachment, have gotten some really bad attachments when they left. And there have been several people, believe it or not, that have been scratched.
Yeah.
Pretty good over there, scratched.
There was an individual that contacted us probably about 6 weeks ago, a young man who had not even gone in the house, couldn't get a hold of the owner to do so, but had taken pictures. I don't know if he called out to, whatever was in the house, but he contacted us later saying that he was having really bad nightmares about killing people and the urges to do harm to others and depression where he wanted to kill himself. He was seeing, black shadows. And
he claimed he saw a woman in the doorway while he was trying to take pictures and capture kind of missed in the photo, but it was really concerning.
Sorry guys, I'm having a lag right now. God, it's seriously, Skype is probably one of the biggest pains, but it's the only way we could do this without, huge phone bills. But from what I understand from the people who moved in the home after you guys moved out, and, other folks who have moved in have actually said that they have never really experienced anything in the home, not to the level of what, of what you guys experienced in your year there. Now, was that just a way of keeping people away, or, how do you explain something like that?
The people that moved in, several of, I want to say there were probably five or six individuals or families that moved into the home after we did.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, everybody claimed, you know, no activity. I also know that the first family that moved in had several kids and several pets. And when you're looking for activity or looking for signs of activity, you've got to have some level of control. You've got to know, okay, I didn't put that there. Who else could have put it there? When you've got three kids, you know, they're liable to, I know with my own boys, you know, they're liable to pick up something and drop it off in another room. And you mm-hmm. can't say, oh, that's paranormal. So that right. was probably a hard situation to assess for, you know, several of the people who actually lived there after us. I do know of one family, and they were actually interviewed. I'm trying to remember this show. I want to say it was on the Travel Channel, Most Haunted Town, where the woman who was living there wouldn't let the psychic and other, you know, people who were interviewing her pass the living room, which seemed really, really strange. And
yeah.
I learned later that she, in fact, did have activity. I spoke with her daughter, who her and her husband and their young baby had lived in the house for probably a year. And
okay.
she described some situations. She remembers one where she was laying on the floor and, you know, middle of the night, and something woke her up and she rolled over, only to be looking at a very ragged, morbid little girl or young woman
mm-hmm.
next. It just, and she described other things that weren't quite so disturbing.
Yeah.
And I really don't think that she was making them up. She seemed pretty darn sincere about them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you're talking to somebody about them, you can kind of pick up on little, you know, nonverbal hints of, you know, their facial features and their voice inflection and also. I really did believe what she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always the chance that, you know, she could have just been, you know, telling these stories to be a part of it all. But she's never gone to the media about it. She's never wanted the attention for it, as far as I know. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Now, you know, that's kind of one something I wanted to touch a little bit on too. Was the very town that the home is in, Atchison, is actually considered to be the most haunted town in the United States. And there was the television program, you know, America's Most Haunted Town. What are some of the most, you know, because our listeners are going to want to know, and I want to know as well, but what are some of the most, you know, haunted places in Atchison besides, you know, being your former home?
There's the River House restaurant, and that's known to be haunted. They've got activity that the waitresses see.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be residuals down in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And there's several houses. We know of a lawyer and researcher that have suitcases thrown at them from their attic.
Mm-hmm.
The mansion across from the Sally House has benevolent spirits in them. The current owners don't like to, you know, talk about them or, you know, promote it a whole lot. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, they are there. The town is very old. It was originally supposed to be, you know, the original Kansas City. And
okay.
So there's a lot of history here. So, you know, there's a lot of old homes and such.
Yeah, a lot of beautiful old.
Yeah.
So how does one go about disposing of a haunted house when you don't want it anymore?
The house or the spirits within?
Well, let's start with the house and move on to the spirits. How about that?
Well, usually that's done with dynamite, but with
yeah.
the spirits.
That's what I'd do if it was me. I'd tear it down.
Interesting enough, there's been a lot of conjecture that the spirits there are, it's older than the house.
Oh.
You know, the big, nasty spirit that seems to be there is actually tied to the land. We had a group in that did some research, and they said that the Indians actually avoided the land that, you know, that house sits on by the river.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Good question.
So,
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, at least, you know, it's not like, you know, Native American burial ground, but because apparently that seems to cause hauntings, and I never could understand in my own research why, but, you know, go ahead, Karen.
I was just going to actually, and was going to queue up the EVPs since, you know, I've been notorious. I've been missing since this last segment is because I've been trying to get the EVPs in a format that Cheryl can play them on her player. And we got three of them for you. So are you guys ready to go over the three EVPs that Deborah sent?
Absolutely.
Okay. So this first one, Deborah, is the one that says, we've been robbed. So can you set that up?
There's several seemingly individual spirits in the house, and actually several children. And there's a little boy that seems to be very vocal on several EVP that we have. And this is here. He just screams at the top of his lungs. It almost sounds like it is a residual because, of course, we didn't rob him, but that's what he's screaming about.
Okay. All right. Well, let's listen to it, Cheryl. So is it all the way through, or are all of those voices that little boy saying, we've been robbed?
No, there's a he that seems to be a younger, maybe female almost. And usually in my EVPs, I try to make sure that there is like an investigator's voice or someone who's actually there, so there is some level of comparison.
Right.
But in this one, and honestly, I couldn't hear it very well from my end, so I apologize for the format of that.
That's okay. That's the nature of EVPs.
Yeah. I could clearly hear it.
Okay, let's play it. Let's play it one more time. I definitely can hear
the investigators' voices in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And so the next one is the one that it says, he, I'm here. Can you set that one up?
I'm trying to think. It's been a while since I've gone over these. Again, it's a small child, and we're asking for confirmation to do something or show a sign that they're there. And I believe this one was captured on a digital video recorder, and they were asked to, you know, try and make themselves known in front of the camera.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let's listen to Cheryl.
Well, we have that one too. That's true.
Yeah, I don't hear it in there.
Yeah,
it's. I did hear it, and if you know what you're listening for,
mm-hmm.
It's actually very clear, and I want to say it's about the middle part of that EVP.
Okay, let's play it again.
Let's do. Yeah.
No, we have that. It
overlaps a male voice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's right after the female voice, female investigator stops talking.
Yeah, a little something. Those can be tough when they talk over you.
Yeah.
So, okay, and then this last one, there is absolutely no denying what it says. It's
what Rick was looking for.
This one gave even me the chill. I think this one would give Hans Holzer the chills.
So can you set this one up? Let's not tell them what it says, just so that we can see if people actually hear what it says, but I can't imagine they won't.
The investigators were talking about the abilities of spirits and that they couldn't actually kill you. And in between his very lengthy dissertation, you have this voice that comes in and says, swallow.
Don't tell us. Okay, here we go. You guys ready? Play it. Cheryl, you got it?
Yeah, I did try and play it, but I'm getting no audio coming from the file.
Oh, shit.
Let me try it again.
Oh, no.
I don't know if it didn't convert over correctly or not.
Well,
but
let me... you guys, talk amongst yourself. I'm going to...
No.
I'll be back.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen. So,
Rick, I have a question. Can I butt in? I have a question.
Sure.
And this goes back to the sightings episode when they were showing scratches just appearing on Tony. So some people you were talking about are going to say that was faked. And I just, I'm kind of thinking, I don't know how you deal with that, because to me, I was impressed with, I mean, unless the whole camera crew's in on it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How do you deal with when people just say, oh, well, that's a trick, you know, when you have this horrible thing happening to you? It's just, you just learn to deal with it over time, or?
I think sightings' whole intention when they came up was basically to debunk.
Right.
When it first came up. But, you know, they just, each member of their cast was having some kind of...
Everybody walked away with an experience.
Somebody had something happen, every one of them.
And we did send off the pictures to them that were aired and that had anomalies in them.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted those to be looked at and credible before we were, you know, put on television and said, oh, you're a hoax.
Right.
And when those came back cleared, you know, we felt more comfortable with letting them in. And you just, when you know, when you're so secure after a while in knowing what has happened, you kind of have to get to the level, and it took Tony probably a little while longer than I. You get to the level where you just don't care. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know what happened. You know what's being shown. You know what's, you know, the evidence. And you just got to let people make up their own minds. Everybody's going to be a skeptic.
Yeah, I finally had to tell myself I wasn't out to prove anything. I'm not trying to make money or anything. It's just, you know, this is what happened to me. This is a personal experience, and here you go. I'll say, you know.
Okay.
If you want to believe it, you can. If not, I'm not going to hold it against you, because like I said, I was a big skeptic on this type of stuff too until it happened to me. So I can't be mad or blame anybody for not.
Well, personal experiences will change that skepticism quite a lot, won't they?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We used to sit in front of the television and laugh and point fingers and say, oh, yeah, right, like that's really going to happen. We were the worst.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I've always said that no matter, you know, the evidence that you bring forward, you could have a UFO land on the White House lawn and the ghost of Bigfoot come out, you know, asking for a six-pack, and people would still say, where's the zipper?
Yeah.
No matter what kind of evidence you're going to put out there, no matter, you know, how great the EVP is, no matter how incredible the picture or the video is, you're always going to have people out there who are going to tear it down, rip it apart, and try and make you, you know, you as the witness and the person providing the evidence as, you know, the biggest liar and chucklehead on the planet. So no matter what you do, you can't win.
At this point, you know, with our technology level where it is, it's very difficult to, you know, or I should say it's not very difficult to manufacture what one might present as evidence of the paranormal.
Boy, right. Howdy, yeah.
Well, you have that app on the iPhones now where you can, you know, put a picture of a ghost in, a picture on your phone, and then send it away. In fact, that's one of the biggest pictures circulating the internet right now. Isn't that correct, Karen?
As a matter of fact, we had several people send it to us, and one person, and of course, it circulates kind of urban legend style, and so everyone says, oh, well, this my cousin's brother's uncle's best friend took this picture, and I had one gal, and I emailed her back and said, no, this is very clearly an iPhone app, and the three of us sent her, like, the picture of the ghost from the iPhone. I did an overlay. I actually took a picture of the picture with my iPhone and then moved the little girl ghost over the top of the ghost, and they were still like, no, I think this one's genuine, so what did it do? Hey, we have that EVP, you guys.
I got it.
I got it fixed. So here we go. Let's listen to that one.
But they can't kill you.
Swallow your soul.
What for Vincent?
Wow, I love that one.
That
Play
one
it again,
is so
Karen.
Awesome. Play it again, Cheryl.
It is.
But they can't kill you.
Swallow your soul.
What for Hanson?
You see, I'm so happy about it. You swallow your soul.
Love that one.
How did you feel when you heard that one? My goodness.
Oh, that
it really creeped out.
Yeah.
And that was early on in, you know, our going back and investigating the house. Our mm-hmm. last investigation over there was August 18th, 2007. Uh-huh. And we got some horrendous, very, very disturbing EVPs. Male voices just saying, "I'm going to kill you." And voices of children saying, "I'm scared," and knowing what was going to take place in, you know, later that day. Tony was actually attacked. He was attacked and thrown 4 feet into a wall.
Oh, God. Wow. Hey, you guys just lit up the chat room with that EVP, let me tell you. That's probably the best one we've ever played on here. I'm not going to lie.
At least. I wonder if they could swallow your soul if they need a straw or just gulp it right down. I don't know.
No,
that's definitely probably one of the best EVPs I've ever heard in my life. So
definitely. Yeah. Wow. I like me a good EVP. I asked Rick before, because Rick's read the book and stuff, and I asked him if I was going to have nightmares tonight. After talking to
you guys. Apologize for any residual effects.
No, it's okay. I like scary things, and you know, I like them a little better when I hear about other people scary adventures than when they're mine, when it's something like that. So it sounds like what you guys experienced was extremely intense. How do you recover from something like that, and how do you go about processing something like that?
I think a big help for me was, at the time I was going through it, there really weren't a whole lot of, maybe a couple of paranormal shows out there. There just wasn't anybody to talk to. I mean, coming this little town, it just wasn't something to talk about back then. And I literally felt so helpless, like I had nowhere to go. And just through time, things like this. And my biggest help, I take chances of sounding like a home roller, but God. I literally prayed, and I honestly believe it was, you know, I have to give all my thanks to God for getting us out of there and for nothing really, really bad happening. Or, you know, I don't even want to think about what could have happened. And just things like this for me is almost therapy. You're talking to me now. I mean, just being able to talk about it. That's been my biggest.
And you just you have to move on, because if you dwell on it, it'll bring you down. You have to be positive. You have to know life goes on. You know you beat it. You know you got away from it for the most part. And you know, at this point in our life, you know, Tony and I try and help others, you know, that are in a similar or same situation, trying to, you know, inform them of, you know, what can be happening and what, you know, things they can do to help their situation.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, we froze up again.
Sorry about that.
Oh, this is worse than usual. Yeah, I guess I understand what you're saying, but you know, I guess if I was in a situation that is absolutely as just almost unbelievable. How long does it take you before you think, okay, this isn't a dream. This is real. This is really happening. And then what do you do with that?
It took us a little longer because, like I said, I felt like it was playing us against each other. It was, Deb wasn't getting all the nasty stuff that I was getting, and she just couldn't. It almost felt like she was against me. You know, we fought like cats and dogs because I couldn't understand why we were still there, and she couldn't understand, you know, what
the problem was.
Wow. So does somebody live there now?
No, I don't think anybody's lived there except for, you know, a month here or there. I think there's been two individuals who the owners let in, and because they were in transition of moving from one house to another until the second house was ready. But nope. Really lived there. I think since 2004.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. Well, huh. Well, I really want to thank you guys for taking the time to come and talk to us. Your story is just absolutely interesting. Where can people find more information? Where can people get your book? What's your book called? Can you give us all the information you'd like our listeners to have?
Sure. The SallyHouse.com, and that's, you've got to have that little word "the" in the front. Sally is spelled S-A-L-L-I-E. So it's thesallyhouse.com. It's completely run by Tony, myself, and Renee Liker and her husband. Mm-hmm. It's dedicated solely to, you know, this case, this haunting in the house. And we try and be, you know, really good at pulling things from the internet or experiences. We open up the forum for, you know, almost every investigation that's been done over there. There's EVP gallery, there's a photo gallery, email to get in touch with us. There's a lot of historical information and such. There's also a link to purchase the book that was just published in August, and I'm hoping that that gives everybody a much greater detailed understanding of kind of the behind the scenes, the emotional aspect of, you know, the whole experience. The book can also be bought on Amazon.com, and it should be in all your favorite bookstores.
All righty. Very good. Oh. Okay, thank you so much. What we'll do is, Cheryl, why don't we do this? Because people are asking for the EVP again. So let's play Deborah and Tony out with the EVP before we go to commercial. And then when we come back, we'll be back with the lightning round. You're listening to Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Swallow your soul.
What for dancing?
Oh, man.
Awesome.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. And the odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com.
We're back.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, and we have our favorite lightning round buddy to join us. We have Bert Coates of NWPIA.
Oh, what a schmuck he is, huh?
Hey, how clean can you guys keep it tonight?
Hey.
Not very clean.
Yeah. We'll keep it.
Oh, well, we'll just see about that. So, hey, before we go to the lightning round, Cheryl, do you want to get in any plugs because the magazine's up?
Plugs.
Yeah, everybody can go to paranormalunderground.net and check out the January issue.
Short and sweet, and I think that's really smart because you can tell that they're already chomping at the bit to just embarrass us. So is Chad not going to be able to do the lightning round? Is that what I got from him, Cheryl?
Yeah, that's he's not going to join us.
Okay.
Oh, man.
All right, are you guys ready? Are you ready? So...
We were born ready, Karen.
Yeah, born ready. So I shared at the top of the show my supernaturally bad day. And sometimes days like that seem like you're almost getting some kind of a message like, go back to bed or you're not wanted here or whatever it is. Do you think that the universe ever sends us messages telling us that something isn't meant to be or that we need to move on to something else, Bert?
Yeah. Oh, you know, that's a really good question. I think my boss dictates how I'm going to feel that day. I think it's my boss.
Got it. So, Rick, how about you?
Yeah, personally, me, I'm kind of like a big believer in Murphy's Law. If it's bad and it's going to happen, it probably will. So, yeah, I definitely think that there's something behind the whole telling me bad things are going to happen.
Hey, we froze up again. So, Cheryl, what do you think?
Let's see. What do I think? Yeah, I think it probably happens all the time, but nobody really pays attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I've done things like when I've written a blog and I finished the whole blog and for whatever reason, the computer deletes it, usually something on the internet. And I think, well, should I repeat that blog? And then I think, nope, that was meant for nobody to read. And so then I don't. So it's almost a little, I'm almost a little superstitious that way.
Hey, Karen, what kind of computer do you work off of again?
I use a MacBook Air.
Oh, there it is.
So I just need to move back to a Windows computer and I won't have that problem ever again, huh?
No, you should look to the Bert's operating system.
Yeah, that'll be really handy, I'm sure. Well, we'll talk about it. I'm going to see you this weekend anyways. Like, you bring me a sample and we'll talk about it. I'm talking about a sample of the operating system, not any other.
Okay. See, I was waiting for Randy to take care
of it. No, I think I had like a lag on my other end. I barely heard what you guys even said.
That's probably a good thing. Okay, so here's the next one. The Church of England is considering... a measure that they adopt something that they're calling baptism light. That's baptism LITE. It's a ceremony for people who prefer a baptism with fewer calories. Well, okay, not really, but it's a maybe for people who prefer a baptism with a little bit less God. So what I want to know is, do you think that when churches water down their traditions in this way, and hey, that's a baptism pump, water down. Anyway, do you think it helps or harms the church's overall mission, Bert?
No, I think if you believe in something, stick with it. I don't water it down. You've never heard me water anything down before if I believe in it or don't or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Rick? Hi.
Hi, your turn.
Oh, hey. Oh, sorry about that.
Hey!
Wow.
Bert's just waving at you from across the room.
He's waving at me from like 2,500 miles away. Yeah, I do think it kind of does hurt the church's image. But from what I understand, the Church of England has been watering down its dogma for years now. So it kind of really doesn't matter at this point.
All right. Cheryl, what do you think?
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of a few years ago when McDonald's added granola and yogurt to its menu. It just didn't seem natural at all. Yeah, so.
They added apples.
Yeah.
That's right. And apples. If you believe in disgusting fatty food from McDonald's and those delicious Big Macs, or not Big Macs, quarter pounders and stuff, then by golly, don't water that down. Don't make it healthy. Mm-hmm. People know what they're getting into.
Yeah.
All right.
That'd be like saying Rick's a good host.
Rick's an awesome great host.
He totally had my back tonight while I was sitting here sort of spacing out with my migraine. So I can't say anything bad about Rick tonight.
They love me.
Yeah. So are you ready for the next question, you guys?
Yep.
It'll suck your soul. Was that the word, suck your soul? No. Is that what it was? Suck your soul.
I don't know. Swallow your soul.
Swallow your soul.
Suck
that was it.
Glory hole.
Same diff. Okay, so according to Discovery News, physicists are working on hyperspeed technologies, and they could get us to Mars in 3 hours. If they could develop this in our lifetime, here's what I want to know. Do you think the TSA will finally let us take more than 3 ounces of liquid on Mars flights, Bert?
I'm just kind of hoping they'd allow me 3 ounces of Sobe.
Yeah.
I just need the energy. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see here. We're on to Rick.
I think the story here more is the hyperspeed technologies. I mean, for a guy who grew up with Star Wars and Star Trek, just hearing something like that is like
groovy.
I'm hard right now. I'm hard. My penis is hard just thinking about the possibility of hyperspeed.
Well, but, you know, the thing is, isn't there something about if you travel faster than the speed of light, something happens? I don't remember what it is right now.
It's hard.
Yeah, apparently.
I would get hard.
So, Cheryl, how about you?
No, I think they would just charge us more for the 3 ounces. I don't think they'd give us more.
Oh, my God. Do you see what they're going to charge more for now? They're not going to be lap babies anymore.
Hmm. Oh.
Wait a minute. What happened to the lap dances?
Well, they haven't had those on the airplanes in years, I'm pretty
sure. Hold on a second. There's going to be lap dances on hyperspeed technologies. Yeah, going to
Rick, on ours. Right?
You guys! Oh, now I'm going to have nightmares, because first I'm going to have nightmares about Rick and that. Was it called Sybaris? No. What was it called?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was called.
And now this. Now Bert wants to give Rick a lap dance in hyperspeed.
It's all because of the whole heart.
So, are you ready for the next one?
See,
we're running out of...
Physics just gets thrown out the window with stuff like that. You know, lap dances on hyperspeed. I mean, that would make that lap dance extremely fast. Okay, go ahead, proceed.
I only need 5 seconds.
So Arthur Conan Doyle's estate has approved a new Sherlock Holmes story. So we are going to start getting some new Sherlock Holmes story for Sherlock Holmes fans. That may be a good thing. I want to know if you think that they should just leave well enough alone, or do you think that bringing Sherlock Holmes back is a good idea, Bert?
I say bring the strippers back on hyperspeed.
And then we'll talk Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, sorry. I had this thing going on in my head there. Sorry. Sherlock Holmes. He was, cool. Let's get back to the hyperspeed thing.
Rick, what do you think about Sherlock Holmes? You notice how I just ignore Bert.
that was pretty smooth, Karen.
Thank you.
No, you know what? More Sherlock Holmes stories, I'm like totally cool with that. As long as they're not making them into a movie, because, you know, obviously Basil Rathbone is dead. And secondly, you know, really Sherlock Holmes movies have been done more times than an Amsterdam hoe. But yeah, you know, bringing like original stories out, that's great. But that's also like, you know, saying that, well, Yoko has finally agreed to let go of some of John Lennon's original music. It's kind of in the same vein, but you know.
Yeah, I think it's a different author who's writing it. So, Cheryl, what do you think?
I'm going to have to disagree with Rick here. I think the more Sherlock Holmes movies, the better. and the more I see of Robert Downey Jr. on the screen, the better. So, I'm saying yes.
You're
more.
One of those.
Rick said he's hot.
Yeah, he's hot.
What? All right, so according to the Associated Press, there's a restaurant in Tucson, and it's making lion meat tacos. Lion meat tacos. First of all, are lions endangered?
Yeah, no, I don't think they are. certain kind of tigers are, but not lions, no.
Okay. So here's what I want to know. What is the most unusual or grossest thing you've ever eaten, Bert?
Oh, God.
I would like to... a taco. No. Dick's. That's what it was. Dick's.
Dick's, like Dick's Burgers?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
Wait a minute. Are you guys?
No, in Washington, I think that's only in Washington. In Washington State, they have a chain of restaurants called Dick's that's Burgers, right. And they are really cheap gut bombs.
They really are pretty nasty burgers. But I hate because the Dick's sauce runs all over your chin because it really loads on there.
Oh, okay. So
it's a restaurant called Dick's here.
I'm trying not to have nightmares, Bert. I'm just telling you.
So, I thought, you know, when Bert said Dick's, I thought he was like lining guys up again or something.
So, Rick.
I accidentally ate dog once.
No, were you in China or something?
No. There was a. You know, no, I don't want to, you know, I know it's kind of a negative stereotype, but unfortunately it does happen every once in a while. There was an Asian restaurant in Round Lake, which is a town out by me, and they got closed down because they were serving dog in
does
their
hand. Does it taste like chicken?
It was when I was a little kid, you know, I just remember the fact that they were using dog for their meat. And I was more than likely one of the people who had one of their, you know, from something from their American menu. And it was a burger. So
I would be horrified by that because I love dogs. I mean, not like in a tasty way. I love dogs. I have pets. So, Cheryl, how about you? Grossest or most unusual thing you've ever eaten? Can you beat dog?
Well, I can. How about snail?
Oh, I had snail, too. Yeah. Escargot.
Yeah, it was pretty gross. Escargot, I don't recommend it.
I was going to say, so was it escargot, or were you just picking them out of the
no,
garden?
No, it was actually escargot. I wasn't eating them out of the garden.
Oh, God.
You know, I had to write an article about snails, and do you know that snails are both they're hermaphrodites, and they can impregnate themselves.
Hey, Rick, you're not alone.
Interesting.
I know, isn't that awesome? So I think my
you
sister
know what?
Ate
I am,
rat
I am totally going. I'm totally going to the burn unit on that one, dude. I have nothing to come back with.
Burn
rat. Okay. Rat is pretty bad, Karen.
Yeah,
rat's
that
not good.
Me. That was my little sister. She went on a trip to China and they ate rat. They told them to not eat mystery meat, and she did. And they told them not to get a tattoo, and she did. So, you know, these things, they happen.
Yeah.
So there you go. You go to China, you come back, you've eaten rat, and you're tattooed. What can you do? All right. So I don't know if any of you guys have seen the latest viral video on YouTube. It's a woman who's walking and texting in a mall, and she falls into the fountain. So the woman has a criminal record for credit card theft. She stole somebody's credit cards in 2009 and charged up $7,000 in bills. And so she says she is going to sue the mall because the security guards put the video on YouTube, and she is now just absolutely humiliated. She wasn't injured. She was just humiliated. And if you look at the video, she's unrecognizable unless she came forward, which she did, to the media. Nobody would have ever known it was her. So here's what I want to know is if you could actually sue and make money for humiliation, who would you go back and sue from your middle school days, and why would you sue them, Bert?
That's a good question. I have no idea. I would, if I had anybody to sue, I would sue Rick.
Okay. Rick humiliates you on a daily basis. So how about you, Rick? Do you have any good tales of humiliation?
No, I'm actually the person who would probably be sued.
Oh, you are. Yeah. People like you. How about you, Cheryl? Do you have any tales of middle school humiliation?
I mean, none that matched this tale, but me and my friends did get caught once for truancy during the middle of the school day in junior high school, and we were a bit humiliated having to walk back into the school and face the principal and administration, and then our parents.
So you would sue yourself?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say I'd sue the truancy officer, but I guess really I deserved it, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay, but come on. This woman was walking and texting when she fell in the fountain. So yeah. Don't you think that that makes her just vaguely culpable?
Yes. Absolutely. Definitely.
So, hey, we only have just a couple of minutes left. So we're going speed round. This is the last question. A Russian prison is offering inmates a new perk. They're giving them tanning beds. And they say it is
really?
They say it is to compensate for the lack of sunlight in prison. I think it's because they want to kill them early with skin cancer. I want to know what you think, Bert.
I think that, you know, Washington State, living in Washington State, we all need tanning beds because we get sun maybe, what, 4 weeks out of
five every, minutes?
Five minutes.
So, yeah, about 5 minutes. We had it yesterday. It's over.
Yeah, so, if budgeted in, I say do it.
Yeah, so Rick, what do you think they're trying to do with those tanning beds?
I think they just want to make them so they're more attractive to each other. Because you know what goes on in prison.
I was going to say, and then they're going to make prison movies.
Yeah.
So, Cheryl, what do you think?
They're trying to kill them. No question about it.
All righty. So, that's it for this week. I wanted to thank our guests, Deborah and Tony Pickman. That Sally House sounds really interesting, and I would love to talk to them when I don't have a headache. And stay tuned after our show for Night Views Radio. I don't know what they're talking about tonight, but it's always a good show, so stick around for that. And a new issue of the magazine is online. Anything else I'm missing, Cheryl?
Next week we'll have Christopher Copez, the author of Messages from the Light, True Stories of Near-Death Experiences and Communication from the Other Side. And also next week we'll have Rob St. Helen talking about working in a haunted hotel.
Yeah, and we actually pre-taped the interview with Christopher, and Cheryl and I both afterwards were like, oh my God, that was so awesome.
He was great. You got to tune in for that.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk to Bert again about, you know, his dislike for dicks.
All righty. And so with that, thank you for joining us. We'll be
only
back
Jamie knows for sure.
We'll be back next week on Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network.